Welcome, pudding people, to another episode of Everybody Loves Pudding. We are your hosts, Ken Seymour and Richard Geiger, here to right the wrongs of the world through a message of peace and unity.
The unity? No, unity. No more hatred. Only acceptance. That's what we're going for here.
That's right. Just acceptance and maybe the occasional superpower.
Yes, and Omega level? I don't know.
If you did not read the intro, first of all, just that's what are you doing? But for those of you that are just listening in the background, we are going to be talking about the brand new Disney Plus show, Marvel-centric, X-Men 97.
Yeah. So we talk a lot about comic book stuff.
Yes, we do.
Unfortunately, more recently, the X-Men world has not been part of that conversation, because a good portion of it has been not ignored, but not carried forward as a primary mode of entertainment.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's always going to be a little cyclical, I feel. I mean, there's going to be the ones that are popular at a certain time, and then it's not. It happens in the comic book world. I mean, for the longest time, the Fantastic Four was like the team that was cool, and then it was the Avengers, and then it was the X-Men, and, you know, for a while, New Warriors, things like that. It's just everybody gets their time to shine.
And we've had discussions about comics, like I said, but in terms of your favorites in the Marvel world, like we've talked about this on previous podcasts, Thanos, right?
Absolutely.
Is one of your just all-time favorites in general. But if you had a collective, if you had a group of the few or many groups, it's more Avengers leaning, you would say?
I've always been more of an Avengers person. Specifically, I was a big fan of the West Coast Avengers.
Yes. Okay, so for me, it was always the X-Men. And in more particular terms, the Uncanny X-Men were always my favorite group.
Yeah. Now, if you really want to have some fun, dig into the original naming patterns of the X-Men books, because there are so many, and they change, and they kind of fold back on themselves, and it's just kind of a bit of a confusing thing if you're not ready for it.
And the world of X-Men, I think, is very broad-reaching, and there's always crossover events. You'll see them, especially with X-Force, but you'll see it with the Avengers. You'll see it with, I think, a little bit of everybody. It's just, in the world that we live in entertainment now, the, quote, mutants haven't really been forward in terms of the presentation. So, and of course, they're a Fox-owned property. So that makes it a little bit more challenging to meld the worlds together. And what we're seeing here is not part of that world per se.
It isn't.
But what we are getting is, if you have love for X-Men in some form or fashion, you're getting some of that love back with this show.
Right. And if you were like us and fans of the original 1992 television show, this is basically meant to cater kind of straight to you, provided your tastes have not changed and you've not, so long as you still have a soft spot in your heart for it.
And that, I think, is essential to this.
It is.
If you loved that show, you will love this, I think, personally.
I think for the most part that's true. Now, as of the recording, technically the fourth episode dropped today. He has seen it. I have not. But we've both seen the first three, and that's primarily what we will be keeping our conversation to. So, of course,
yes,
to get it out of the way, spoiler warning, we will be talking about plot elements. We will be talking about a variety of different things, and just giving a general reaction. Is this something that hits us home where we want it to be, or is it something different?
And I think with this, it's not 100% necessary, but you'll enjoy it much more if you've watched the other five, technically six, but like five, six seasons of the X-Men cartoon before you watch this show.
Truthfully, you can skip the last season. The last season was just god awful.
Yeah, it was like just a handful of episodes, but it just recapped, not recap, but it had random episodes with things that weren't congruent. And the nice thing about the main body of that is that each thing, to an extent, was its own, but each season carried forward progress through certain storylines,
right.
And they carried over from season to season as well. And you don't always see that very much in these types of shows, but to have that have some consistency, I thought was one of the many reasons why it was, you know, one of our favorites from the 90s.
Definitely, definitely. So, all right, going into this, I always try to keep my expectations down, in the sense that, because you don't know what you're going to be getting out of the whole thing. I will say this. I would have liked to have seen some of the original voice actors come back a little more than they did.
Yeah, some of them. It wasn't possible.
Right.
But the fact that they got a good chunk, I think, was impressive enough. I mean,
they got Cal Dodd to come back. They got George Buza to come back. But there's a lot of people that are new.
Yeah. But the ones that they got are pretty good.
Yeah.
And when you say tempering expectations, the thing about this show is I knew it was coming out. But I don't, in terms of publication, in terms of about the show and what was going to happen and how it was going to work, you didn't really see anything like that, right? Like there was a bits and pieces of stories, but leading up to it, it was, it's releasing on this date. And you were like, cool.
And that's pretty much it.
And that's pretty much it. So in terms of the expectations, I think it was easy for them to be tempered or to an extent almost forgotten that this show was coming up until very recently.
Well, and I mean it in a kind of a different way. And that's why I kind of framed it in the method that I did. I mean, this show came out in 1992, the original.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that is over 30 years ago. And mm-hmm. I was still in high school at that point.
Oh, yeah.
So I've learned, I would like to think, a great deal since then. I've gone through a lot of life experiences. I have been trained to a certain extent to understand the structure of a story and how it's meant to be put together and elements that make a good story and that don't and a variety of other different things. So I've had a lot more life experience than I had when I watched the original series. So that's where I'm trying to temper my expectations, because I've often had, it's like, oh, I remember, I love that show, and I watched it again. It's like, oh, man, that was trash. How did I like that show? And I have to remember, it's like, well, that was a different time in my life. It's not trash. It's aimed at a different demographic, and I was that demographic at that point. And, you know, just a variety of different things. So I'm trying to make sure that my initial reaction is fair.
And for me, I have watched the original stuff recently. So recently being within the last couple of years. So it's not like I've ignored this, but it's also not like I just watched it all in December, right? So some things are I don't necessarily remember, but a lot of the elements I do remember because it's fresher in my brain parts.
All right. So it picks up where the previous show leaves off,
mm-hmm.
which, first of all, I love that. The no time jump at all.
Yep.
Just let's get back to it. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yep. They're the characters and their place and their memories and their age and their experiences are the same. There may be a couple months, maybe, right? But for the most part, it is, you're right, it's just jumping right back where we left off.
So that was really nice. The artistic style is basically the same.
Also great. The way the cartoons were drawn originally, there was effort, there was money put into it, but then that kind of faded away and they had to rush. And there was, you can watch some highlights on the artist discussing a lot of the features for these things, like getting them to run or getting them to have their legs moving was a challenge for the artists at the time. So you see a lot of shots in the original that were from the waist up or from the knees up, because it was harder for them to animate on the budget that they had and with the type of animation that they had. So in this, I think we don't see that as much. So when you get the action sequences, of course, you get more of that experience because you're seeing the full body of the characters.
Right.
And you're right, the animation, like the facial expressions, the uniforms, the hairstyles,
the little mannerisms, the little, like the Cyclops sunglass glint thing that they loved to do.
Did it a lot, yep.
Right. And so it's all right, that's there. So it's kind of, oh, it's cool to see that again. And they did it again. Oh, it's going to be a thing. Okay, fine. I gotta remember, pull myself back.
Yep.
But it's a little slicker. So while it's the original style, like you said, it's polished.
Correct. There's more of a budget, different equipment. It's a you're not drawing frames, right? Like maybe, right. I mean, you are, but like I don't know exactly how they did the modern one, but certainly not like what they had to do 30 years ago to create this.
Right. So already I like where they're going with it. That's pretty nice. The intro updated a little bit.
Yeah.
But still thematically the same, still musically based the same, just again, polished, tweaked.
Mm-hmm. Now the thing about this, and I read a snippet of that they weren't willing, the creators of this, which are, you know, when we're talking about like storytellers for 97 here, one of the stipulations, like we're not going to do this unless we get the voice actors from the original, which it's 30 years ago. You're going to do so much.
Right.
And we get the theme song, because the theme song is a beloved song. It's an iconic song, I kind of think. But it's not like that just owned by Fox or like, right? It's a different property from what I understand, but they were able to get the rights to be able to do this. And of course, like you said, polish it and tweak it. But one of the important elements when I spoke to you a couple days ago was watch all the intros,
mm-hmm.
right? This is the one show without knowing, I was like, I love the intro so much, I'm not going to skip it. I'm just going to watch it because I like it so much. And I have seen the fourth one, and each episode, the intro is slightly different.
Almost. From what I can tell, the second to the third does not change.
But the fourth one does.
I bet it will.
So just, but not major,
no.
Right? Just,
no.
Just little,
small tweaks.
Little tweaks. So one, if you are going to watch this, don't skip the intro. It's short. The music's great. And it's a little different.
Yeah, it's one of the things to really be able to enjoy. Now, the second thing that I have to say is going into this, and this is the part that I forgot. I wanted to make sure that I watched at least some of the original show again to kind of get into the right frame of mind. I didn't have as much time as I wanted to really do it all.
Mm-hmm.
But I did like a best of sort of thing. And then read through the plots of the episodes because I could speed read this. Like, oh, yeah, I remember that. Oh, yeah, I remember that. It's like, I don't remember that. Skip me, whatever it was. I forgot how much of a soap opera this show was.
Oh, yeah.
Originally. That I don't know how I got past that as a young man, because I hated soap operas. Mostly. I mean, if it involved wrestling or comic books, I guess it was okay. But
Wolverine's love of Jean Grey, right?
Right.
Gambit's attempt at love, attempt at interest in Rogue, but she's into it, but not, right?
Yes.
That's part of it. I'm trying to think. So there was always the relationship between Jean Grey and Scott Summers, which we it's a all of these things show up again in this too. But you're right, there's other elements too, right, in terms of bonding or cohesion in different respects to the different characters.
And the main reason I bring that up is if you're going into this cold, because a lot of people will be,
mm-hmm,
just understand what it is. You have to understand what it is, because my initial reaction, even preparing myself, I groaned a number of times watching these episodes, like, oh man, that's bad.
But it
matches. It was like that before. I just forgot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you have to pack a lot into a small period of time is, yes, basically what that is.
And I feel like if you didn't watch the other stuff and you watch this and you're in a certain frame of mind, you're like, ew, they're pushing a narrative on us, the acceptance pack. Like, that was the whole theme, yeah, of the original cartoon.
That's the whole theme of the comic.
That's the whole theme of the movies, right? They touch on it a lot in these episodes.
Yeah.
So that's another soap opera element of it, mm-hmm, I think. But it is a crucial element of this team and these characters.
Something else to kind of go into it, if you're a comic book fan that has not seen the original show, or if you're like I am, a comic book fan that forgot a lot about the original show,
mm-hmm,
remember, they are going to do things that you hate.
They're going to take liberties,
to take absolute liberties, and they are going to, let us say, screw up majorly on certain things. Partly, again, because you got to be able to fit it into a small period of time. And like, if you're like I am, that's been a major fan of the comics are an interconnected web of stories
over years and episodes, issues, like years. It takes a while to develop these things,
right?
You don't have a while,
right? And well, not just that, but this is a show centered around the X-Men. A lot of storylines affected multiple titles. Mm-hmm. They're not going to really reference those for the most part, or they'll have to find ways around it. It's like what happened in the movies. It's like, oh, when this happened in the comics, these characters were present. They didn't have the rights at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So they changed things around. You know, so it's slightly different reasoning, but same kind of effect. So going to it at that, we'll talk about my reaction specifically to one of those things here in a moment.
Sure.
But, just understand that that's the case and try your best to just kind of let it go. And remember, think of it as watching a B-movie.
Yes.
If you like B-movies.
And when you talk about the storylines that have all these elements, think of it as a football field, right? So the football field's 100 yards and you're going to score a touchdown. But what they have to do on this is they have to score that same touchdown from the 10-yard line.
Right. Right.
So all that work that you did to get down the field, you're not going to get.
Right.
It's just the end result, to an extent.
To an extent. So we jump in, first episode, and really the whole purpose of the first episode is just to reacclimate.
Yes.
That's the whole thing. Reintroduce the characters, remind us who they are and why they're there, and just introduce just a little bit of this has happened since the last time that you were watching this on the show.
Yes, the mutant liberation, like the asteroid M, like all the Genosha, all these things. The Sentinels were a big part of the first chunk of episodes. And we see hints and elements of these things in here. Professor X, he died at the end of the series. That was a big part of the beginning of this one as well.
Right.
You know, the Cyclops, Scott Summers, is like, he feels the weight of leading the team because he has become the default team leader now that Professor X is gone. So he's always talking about that in this episode. Like, I've got to carry on the legacy. I've got to be the leader. He presses that issue actually quite a bit in that first episode.
Yeah, he won't stop talking about it.
Won't stop talking about it. it's it, it. But all of those things are based on what happened the first six seasons of the show.
Absolutely. And I, you know, one thing I thought of when I was watching that first episode is I remember when the X-Men films came out and how nobody likes Cyclops, even though I have always loved the actor that portrayed him. I love Marsden a lot. And I thought he did all right with the character. I mean, he's a little vanilla, but it's like, yeah, I wonder if a lot of that was just latent hate from the Cyclops character from the show.
And that is a very big element. Okay, so if we go to the live action ones, the most recent one where there was yet another Phoenix, right? Yeah. So like, but that Cyclops character from the usage of his powers, you got a snippet of like, oh wait a second here, he's not just flipping the visor and like, no, there's more to the direction of those powers. But this episode,
they did something neat.
At the end of the episodes, right, they give the description as the role in the credits, and it says right there, concussive blasts. Like that's what they describe it as. That's very generic, right?
Yes, it is.
Very vanilla. And you see in the opening sequence, it's hard for me to describe it because it was so cool. I don't know.
Using it as a movement method in combat, I thought was very, very clever.
Yes.
And if there's one thing I won't complain about, the action sequences in the first three episodes were all fantastic.
Top notch. Yeah. Very good. Especially when you look at the Cyclops character, when you look at the characters as a team, they practice. They talk about it. They practice. So they are familiar with each other's powers. They play off each other's powers. They utilize each other's powers.
Yeah, Gambit charging up the claws.
Well, we'll see it in episode three, but Bishop is one of my favorite characters.
Like, he's a fun character.
One of my favorite characters, and they use Cyclops to charge his powers. Yes. But we're focused on the first episode here,
right?
So yes, it's that opening sequence, and you're introduced to a new a character. We get a new character.
We do. Who is that character?
Well, you know, I'm not great with the character lore, but I was like, wait a second here. Okay, so young kid, like Latin origin.
I was so excited when I was like, all right.
Yeah. And then like, okay. I mean, I'm not great with my characters and he's not showing his power, but then he like gets his arm because like, what can you do? What can you do? And he's like, well, it's something about Solar. It's like, oh, that's Sunspot.
Right.
I was like, that's a classic X-Men character. Like, yes. Like, cool. And hopefully we'll get to see more of that as it goes on.
Yeah, but key to the New Mutants back in the day. Mm-hmm. And then he's been used intermittently. I never felt he was really utilized too amazingly. Although, recently in the comics, he's had interactions with the Avengers and certain other things. If I remember correctly, he acquired or took over AIM. It's just like, oh, that's interesting.
Now, in this, he's a billionaire's child. He likes being a billionaire's child. He can live the life he needs to live. And in him living the life that he needs to live, remember, we're in the mutant world here. He's trying to keep his powers a secret. So he doesn't use his powers, even when he's been kidnapped.
Right.
Because what if someone finds out that he's actually a mutant? You know, are his parents going to accept him? Is he going to be shunned? Is he not going to be a playboy millionaire teenager anymore?
You get to see Jean Grey's plot as she's pregnant.
Yes, with what child could that possibly be?
What could it be?
We actually saw the child a lot in the first series, right? The first six... with other storylines, which right. I'm sure that's why Bishop's here. Anyway, right. we're going to see all that stuff. I don't know. This episode was revisiting like an old plot line of the Sentinels. Like, where did the Mutant Liberation, whatever their team is, like, where did they get this?
Mutant Liberation Front?
Yes. MILF. That's not true. Where did they get the equipment from?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, are the Sentinels still around? Master Mold is still there?
It's fun.
It's like, that's just classic stuff. But what you got with that is, we got to take these guys out, you know, and the whole sequence of them, they're flying out in the Blackbird, although the Blackbird gets minimalized kind of a little bit, right?
Yeah. And that was the only really weird sequence also, because they're all talking, they're in the Blackbird, and all of a sudden the Blackbird's destroyed.
Yep.
It's got radar.
They were too busy chatting. Distracted.
Right. You know, they would turn off the alarm for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
What's that? Is my sandwich done? Oh, no, Sentinels. Okay.
But Sentinel rips the plane to shreds, and it looks like, but then, you know, they're just like, we trained for this. We can do this. That was the coolest part. They're like,
yeah,
we got this.
And even Cyclops is like, yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, I'll break my own fall.
Yeah, he just goes from, like, free falling to, like, doing a dive. And then once again, we're utilizing his powers in just a legit way.
Right.
And he uses like full blast, which slows him down. And then he lands. And then, of course, everybody lands behind him. And it's like boop, 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 you know, with all the different characters. And they're like, let's roll. And then they
snot out of him.
Just attack. And like everybody shows their powers. But then we get a key element, which is easily overlooked, as the Sentinels are talking about the people attacking. Then they detect an Omega level mutant,
right?
Which really, that was not
a thing back in the day.
That was not a thing.
Yeah,
right?
that's a comic thing that happened after that point.
So the fact that they actually referenced
that's nice,
and the fact that it's Storm. And she comes rolling in. They turn. She's so, like, she's got the riding the lightning, basically. She's got so much powerful lightning. She's turning all the sand to glass underneath her and just, you know, proceeds to wipe everybody out easily. And
yeah.
So it was just a great sequence.
Yeah. And just as a note for all of you people that believe the whole hype with the whole MCU thing, when it's like, oh, Captain Marvel's the most powerful, to give you an idea of how powerful Captain Marvel should be. Take a look at Rogue. Rogue absorbed Captain Marvel's powers completely.
Oh,
she's never shown that level of power.
And the thing about her in that sequence, they're talking and she's just like, cool, let's do this. Rips a head off, chucks it, just smashes the heck out of everything.
Right.
Like I love her accent, the sugar, you know, like it's,
I find it grating, but I'm okay with it.
It's her sequence in that is just like effortless because she's that strong.
Sorry. Every time that I hear her talk in the show, now all I can think of is the Pete Holmes skit where he's Professor X firing the X-Men.
Firing all the X-Men, yeah.
And it's like, to be rid of that stupid Southern drawl, can't be fast enough.
Yeah, I was when I saw this episode, I was enamored with the whole sequence because once again, I love the X-Men and I want them to shine. This is that was a good example of it.
And then of course we get to the end of the episode and it's revealed that in the will from Charles Xavier, he left everything to Grandma Magneto. That's what I'm going to call this. It's not Magneto. It's Grandma Magneto. That's my one gripe. He looks like an old woman.
Well, he is old.
Old is fine, but he looks like an old woman.
Yeah, the anime, because he's got the long flowing locks.
It's not
in this
the hair.
One.
It's not the hair. It's the cheek structure and the eyebrows.
Could it be the weird unitard that he's sports?
Well, that's not great looking, but at least it's got its... reference. It's origin. It's something that existed. It's not the choice I would have made, but okay.
Yeah, and the character, it has that deep. It's not the same voice actor, if I'm not mistaken.
No.
But it's got that deep, growly, throaty voice to it.
Voice is fine.
And his machinations of leading the X-Men are cheesy.
Oh, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Super cheesy.
But the long, I would prefer for him to have his helmet on. I think he looks cooler, but
I do too.
But you know, maybe he's more menacing and he's got to be portrayed as a good guy.
Well,
so
this also kind of references the original storyline too in several different things. So mm-hmm. I see where they're going with it. I just, something about the end product, I'm sorry, just makes me think old lady.
Almost like slimmer Granny Goodness.
Actually, that was exactly what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you were going to say that. It's like, oh, that really looks exactly like Granny Goodness.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
I mean, I definitely noticed that too. And you're right. I get what they're going for here. It's just that maybe we'll see a different one interpretation, like a different approach later on in the future episodes. But
I think one thing that would have helped is if they would have gone with like a Lucius Malfoy approach, make his eyebrows dark still. That could have given him some more of an edge.
Ooh, yeah.
And I think that would have looked a little bit better. I mean, it may not be accurate, but for what they're doing, because the tones that they're using, the I think that's really what's doing is the tones, the animation style doesn't serve that look very well. As that, so I mean, it, as gripes go, it's a pretty small one.
But noticeable.
Yeah, but noticeable. So that will lead us into the second episode where Granny Goodness goes before the UN Council and tries to show that he's willing to play by the rules while everybody else figures out what's going on in the background, and you are able to find out that Rogue's able to touch Magneto. What? Yeah.
And of course,
fun stuff.
That does play on
yes.
an actual storyline.
Yes, it does.
They have a child, actually.
Yes.
I don't know if we'll see any of this in play out in here. Maybe.
Maybe
not. Maybe not. Who knows? But of course, the jealousy factor is going to be there from Gambit, which is natural. That's fine. But you're right. It's in this episode, he refers to like assembled my X-Men. There's a lot of my X-Men.
That's done. Overdone. Way overdone. But okay, fine.
Yes. I noticed that a bit. Cyclops is the same thing.
Yes.
A lot of my X-Men.
Oh, my God, you need to say something different is what I kept saying. Yeah. But, all right, that's fine. And you're dealing with the whole Jean Grey's got to give birth thing at the same time of the standoff at the UN. And, again, the actual fight, very, very well done,
yep.
Very good. They find a reason to take the powers away from Storm because if you're going to have somebody that overpowered – You can't have them around all the time.
Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, Magneto is very powerful. Mm-hmm. But if he's going to be the leader, you can't get rid of your leader after you just got rid of your leader.
Right.
So the obvious choice would be the other most powerful
person. Well, they don't have to get rid of his powers because he's struggling to be accepted. So he's going to limit his usages.
Yeah, he's not going to, you know, big building and like shred the whole thing because everything's metal.
Yeah, but so this and that and the other and they try and make a little bit of some references to the Morlocks, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And they address some obvious plot holes from the original show where it's like, I don't know why Charles didn't just ship them over to Genosha to begin with. He knew where they were. He had the money.
Yeah. Like, why didn't he do it? Yeah. I noticed that, too. I was like, yeah, like, why didn't he do that?
I never thought about it when I watched it originally because, you know, I was younger and just mm-hmm. wasn't thinking in that way. But going back to it, it's like, yeah, that's the first thing I thought. I was like, he's rich. Money solves a lot of problems.
Yeah.
But
you should go through planes like once a week, you know. Give one to them.
So the second episode was still fun. And then of course, we get the reveal at the end of the episode that, oh, you're not really Jean Grey, you're...
Yeah, like, it leaves us in suspense.
Yeah, which one's the real Jean Grey? Which one's the clone? Fine, they're going to bring back Mr. Sinister, which is also fine, because yeah. I like Mr. Sinister.
I love Mr. Sinister. That whole plot line was definitely touched on in the previous seasons, so nothing new there.
Right. Okay. And then we go into the dumpster fire that is the third episode. Maybe that's an overstatement.
Well, you know, I had to, because I, once again, I don't know all the characters. I just know what I know. And I was like, who is this? Like, Kitty Pryde. No, not Kitty Pryde. I wish she'd show up. But
that would be cool.
But I had to figure out what the character was. I was like, oh, so this is like a minor character.
No. That's the problem. It's not a minor character. It's a major character.
Oh.
It has huge repercussions in the X-Men's mythos. Madeline Pryor, the Goblin Queen, one of my favorite storylines from the comics was Inferno, which is where she really, I mean, this is where we go again. The buildup, there is a crossover to a bunch of different teams in that storyline. While it's X-Men centric, it affects everybody because the whole appearance of the Goblin Queen originally, all of New York gets erupted into a portion of a hell dimension because of a fight kind of between a couple of different demons. Nastra is one of them, as is Blasco. Blasco predates that. The other one, I'm forgetting the name of the other demon. And so she kind of allies with one of them. She gets corrupted and because she's already in kind of a hard place to take things. And that's where all of this comes from. You don't just become the Goblin Queen and now I can control the hellscape. It's just, no.
Well, maybe this isn't the last we've heard of her. It maybe that's a gateway to other things.
She leaves as Madeline Pryor at the end of the episode. They bring out this character, which is intended obviously to be this like this small pop reference to the original storyline, where they just absolutely trash it. Well, okay, let me rephrase it. They didn't absolutely trash it. I would have been okay. I think I'd have been okay if they made her look vaguely like the Goblin Queen. Did not say the words Goblin Queen at all.
Mm.
And then just did it that way. Then all of the comic nerds like me would go, oh, I see where they're going there. But would not have taken an immediate bad taste offense like I did. It's like, that is not the freaking Goblin Queen. There is no buildup. You don't get to have the ice cream until you make the ice cream. No, that's just...
But we're not in the comic book world.
I know we're not. And like I said, I'm trying to remember that. It's like they got 20 to 30 minutes to get this whole story going. But come on, man.
I have a feeling we're going to see more of her. Just look at the intros.
Yeah, well.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see. But the fact that they go through all the things so quickly, right? It's like, oh, hey. I love that they're talking on the little baby radio.
That was fun.
Right? He kind of peers out of the shadows because the dude is a creepy dude.
He is, definitely.
He looks creepy. He doesn't do fighting. He does.
He does.
But he has minions. They do right. The fighting. He's a scientist, right?
Funny thing is, we'll never be able to see how creepy he actually is in the show. They will never really be able to present him as bad as he really is, which is kind of sad in one way, but I understand it in another.
Well, he's doing experiments on people, humans, mutants,
worse,
everybody.
He's worse than that, trust me.
But I love the look. He just the way he's presented with the teeth and the things coming off his shoulders, like he's just a cool bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to see that back. We got the absolute tiniest hint of it in the live action movies.
Right.
Right. And we saw, and you pointed the screen like, oh, SX Enterprises, I know what that is. And then you never, it's gone after that.
Wah, 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 wah.
But, so we've got one of the, you know, the bigger X-Men adversaries pop back up again.
Yes.
In this nice. Episode. And I think more important than the Goblin Queen, this was the gateway to get him back into the storyline.
And that's fine.
But we also get the child now, too.
Yeah.
And you see all the parts. Now, if that's the original origin, well, you know, whatever, but we...
It's close enough.
We see the elements. We see the things. The techno-organic virus is now in the baby. Everybody know. Well, you should know that this is Cable, right? He's going to the future. He has the techno-organic virus. He's Nathan Summers. Like, that's Cable. Like... You know that, but maybe you don't, I guess. But whatever. Anyway, I'm sad that Gambit, not Gambit, but I'm sad that had to go back.
Bishop,
yes.
Oh, yeah, he'll be back
He'll
soon.
Be back.
Well, it's a long time to him as a blink to us.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that doesn't really mean anything.
I love that in the one little sequence, his sister's face popped up in there. Like, why did you abandon us?
Hopefully we'll get to see Cable's brother.
Who's Cable's brother? Oh, no, that's the pirate, right?
No, the pirate is Cyclops' dad.
Dad. Okay, yes, that's the other Cable's...
Strife.
Oh, yeah.
Brother, not brother. Cloned, same person. I call them brothers. It's as close as they're going to get.
No, because his brother is Havoc.
Cyclops' brother is Havoc.
Yes.
Yes.
So you're saying like Cable's brother.
Well, in the comics, Strife is Cable without the techno-organic virus, just kind of a clone. And I'm wondering if that's the direction they're going to go with this.
Oh, okay.
So that could be fun.
Cable's cool.
Executioner Song was a big storyline that had to do with that back in the late 90s? Late 90s? Is that right?
And there was X-Factor was a part of that too.
Yes, yes. All the X titles were.
Okay. Anyway, so all through that stuff, of course, we come to the end. You know, Cyclops is sad. Jean doesn't know her place. But we do get a little snippet at the end. You know, Storm's in Texas.
Man, we get to see Forge, who's also a very cool character.
Forge, like, super cool. So we're mapping out multiple storylines of things this whole time.
And they kept getting my hopes up, though, too, because it's like, you know, Jean and Scott are going to leave and go on their own. It's like, oh, so we're going to get other X-Men. Oh, they're still here.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Let him leave. Let's get some other characters in here.
And you know what? There's even elements of humor in this. If you see in this episode when they get out of the danger room and they're looking at the training sessions.
No, it's right? just those two over and over and over and over again.
And then Morph looks at him and is pushing the button about exercise. Like, it was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was good. I also like the hands up bit where he turns into Spiral briefly.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So what I can say is episode 4 is more of the great stuff. Okay. I'm biased with this, right? So every one of these episodes is great. I think the first one is tippity top just because of the action sequences. It is more than an homage to the original series. It's got all the little elements. They place it in the 90s, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
The one sequence, which to me just kind of is the epitome of that, is in the second episode. There's problems on the Ferris wheel. And the girl has a Walkman, and the Walkman falls off, and it breaks into pieces. And it's like, it's clearly a tape player with the headphones. I'm just like, yes, that's funny.
No cell phones.
No cell phones. Like, It's very good.
Yeah. No, I mean, once I got my brain in the right spot, with the exception of my dislike of how they did the Goblin Queen, I really think this is a good outing so far.
Very good. I wish I knew how many episodes this is going to be. They're probably going to just do like the rest, do like 10.
I don't think so.
I hope there's many, like there's a lot.
No, I think they've got, from what I understand, they've got contract to do a lot more than 10 episodes.
Yeah, this is tippity top. It is awesome. I want more characters. I want more action. I want more powers. I want more Jubilee being more than a teenager who just giggles. But in this episode, she showed so much more than she ever did.
They gave her character growth.
She was so annoying in the other ones. Like, she didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And in this one, at least she's like, okay, she's a teenager in a weird world. She got, you know, abandoned. I can relate to you, Sunspot, because I was you. I can relate to that. These guys gave me a home. We can do that too. Like, yes. Yes, a character.
Yeah.
She's more than spirit sprinkles, right? Yeah. You know, she could be way more than that, but she's not old enough. She doesn't know her power. She hasn't been training as much. We'll get to see more of that. I'm sure of it. It's just that, yes, like all the things that maybe were addressed, not addressed, weak spots, now they're correcting some things and continuing some of the other things. Yeah. Like it's,
I'm really hoping for Legion myself. I want to see Legion show up.
Well, that's, we talk about uber powerful.
Yeah, but not as like a member of the team, but as just a story element.
Story element. Didn't we see some, I thought we saw somebody like that in one of the episodes, which I thought was that character, but it actually wasn't.
No.
Yeah. And they also referenced it in this one? They said they doing something in Ireland. So they even referenced the Moira McTaggart thing. They didn't say her by name, but like we're referencing all the parts, man. All of it.
Yeah.
It's great.
Ultimately, what we're saying is have some fun. Check it out.
It's 20 minutes an episode. I've seen all three of these at least twice, and I'll probably watch them again. It's just, I don't know, I'm hooked. It's great. It
brings him joy. What do you think, folks? Let us know. You know how to get a hold of us and all of the natural social media avenues.
Mm-hmm.
And we always love to hear what you have to say. But if you don't want to contact us, I mean, you enjoy making your hosts cry. I guess that's fine, too.
Tears of joy are okay also.
But, we're going to come back next week. We're going to have a new episode. I'm not going to tell you what it is yet. We've got all sorts of stuff coming up. We're going to have some fun. But until then, stay safe and enjoy some comic-y goodness.